You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, this is Ed Stetzer. We have another episode of the New Churches Podcast. And I have a friend on the podcast today. One of the things that's been fun is having a new place to work as I made some new friends and I get to invite them on to the podcast here. And also the Stetzer Church Leaders Podcast. Some of you listen to that as well. Daniel Yang and I do that together. And so we love to bring people who are helping to help us think biblically with wisdom, practical ministry focus, and more. So today I have a new colleague. His name is Scott Ray. He's a professor of philosophy and Christian ethics at the Talbot School of Theology at Biola University. He's authored 10 books in ethics and is a fellow for the Center for Bioethics and Human Dignity and a fellow of the Wilberforce Forum. He's also the dean of the faculty here at Talbot School of Theology. We serve together. And you may be asking, are we going to talk about bioethics? Actually, no, but ethics is going to be a part of our conversation today because AI has become the conversation. And AI has created a whole new way or opportunity to engage in sermon work. So we're going to talk about what's right to do, what's not right to do, and how do you decide, and more. So Scott, thanks for we're on the buildings of Biola University. I'm in this old building, and you're in the nice new building. So we're in different buildings, but we're both on the campus of Biola right now. So thanks for taking the time to join me.
Sure, my pleasure. And okay, eat your heart out for not being in the nice building.
I know you do. It's a very difference between the two. But anyway, that's all right. I'm not bitter much. Okay, so AI and using AI in sermon preparation. So now there's always been a sense that you could do sermon preparation work with other people's downloads. You can download and preach other people's sermons, things of that sort. But AI brings it to a new level of opportunity. I just typed in, write a sermon. I think I wrote, write an expository sermon in the voice of Ed Stetzer on Philippians, 1, I think I forget what it was, 19 through 22. And Scott, it was actually a pretty good sermon. And it kind of wasn't the voice of Ed Stetzer. There's enough out there, I think, people, my sermon outlines. But how should pastors think about, our audience is church planners, pastors, church leaders, people teaching Bible studies, preaching sermons, men and women in different contexts teaching. How should they think about engaging AI and what are the ethical concerns around it?
Well, I think it's raised a new set of fairly complex ethical issues that they're not so easy to dismiss. Like we might be tempted to dismiss to say either don't use it at all or everything's fair game. I think it's the right thing to do ethically is probably somewhere in between those two. And I saw the other day the newest acronym for AI is allegedly inaccurate. And I think that's one thing you always have to bear in mind on this is that it's a bit like Wikipedia on steroids, it seems to me. Because it's drawing from thousands and thousands of sources. They don't have the horsepower yet to vet the sources. Not even sure how they would do that. And I think, to be frank, using it like you just described for the sermon would be, I think, an example of just large-scale plagiarism, where it's plagiarism, but it's coming from, thousands and thousands of potential sources that the AI narrows down for you. And there's no attribution, there's no compensation. You were using some of your own stuff and having to put it in your own voice, but I would not be crazy about people using my stuff right, without attribution or without compensation for it. And I know pastors who have downloaded sermons or essentially plagiarized sermons from other pastors, even though the pastors may have invited people to use their stuff without attribution. I still think that is problematic because the people in the pew expect that the message that they hear comes from the pastor himself.
Yep. Or herself. Yep. Yeah, I think you could say that, you know, I'm preaching this sermon that Tim Keller preached, and I really wanted to share the outline, use the outline, but that's with attribution as well.
Yeah, and I think if you're willing to do full disclosure, then that maybe puts us in a little different place. But I know people are not anxious to fully disclose that they're using other people's sermons or especially AI-generated sermons.
Yeah. Well, particularly if that's what people, you mentioned there's an expectation. And I would say if you're a staff member, you're a full-time staff member in this role, you're maybe their full-time pastor, they're expecting you to do that. Now, let me say our audience is often church planters. And I would say, as someone whose sermons are published online, to every church planner out there, I have no difficulty with you as a bivocational church planner saying, you know, Ed Stetzer did a 5-part series on this. I'm going to use his outline because because people aren't expecting you don't necessarily have the sermon prep, but it's a question of attribution and more. Whereas in AI, it literally is a plagiarism machine because it gathers and brings together other people's thoughts. Now, but does that mean I shouldn't use it at all? Let me give you an example, Scott. I'm sitting here and I typed in, you know, I just preached this morning in chapel and at Talbot, my kind of opening chapel. And I talked about grace alone. We'll put it in the show notes. People can watch it if they're interested. And sola gratia. And so I just typed in, just for fun, while we're here, I typed in to ChatGPT, find me sermon illustrations on the doctrine of sola gratia. And there are 6 sermon illustrations, 2 of which, maybe 3 of which, I think are pretty decent, you know, that I wouldn't have thought of myself. And now I've used ChatGPT for idea generation and research that then, like one of the examples it gives is an example of an artist. And there's no scenario by which I'm just going to cut and paste that into my, because I have no idea where it took that from. But now I can Google more and it's created idea generation and research for me. So how would we use it in positive ways without crossing ethical lines?
Well, I think, you know, for example, when I was a seminary student, we had the opportunity to buy on index cards these massive illustration files. They were all indexed by subject, and nobody thought twice about that. Now, if I'm using somebody else's illustration as though it's from my own experience, then you've got a different story on the line. But I think for her help with research, I think is fine. For idea generation, I think is fine. But I would say, if in doubt, disclose it.
Yeah.
Tell your people what you're doing.
Yeah.
And the only the part that troubles me a bit is I do think eventually the temptation is going to be irresistible to use it for more and more and more. Into where it's writing, you know, it's maybe writing a first draft where you become an editor rather than somebody who's generating it from scratch.
Right. And we want people to, if you're a pastor, you're a church planner, we want you to wrestle with the word of God for your people.
And I want the people who are preaching to me, I want to know not only if they wrestle with the text, but they've wrestled with the text in its application to their lives.
Yeah.
Too. So that's the part, that's the worrisome part to me. And I think the temptation I think is going to be really tough to resist because as it's been advertised, it's going to get better and better. Now there are inaccuracies. There are things you have to watch out for. I put in, a case scenario from one of my classes, an ethical issue that I think pastors sometimes face, which is how to counsel and infer a couple. And it I put in the exact, the exact prompt, and it came back with all sorts of great observations, but they were all from utilitarian style of reasoning, where the ends justify the means. Mm-hmm. And so, in that scenario, it was basically useless because it didn't even give me good ideas. And I'd say if I were grading that paper, it'd probably be a C+ or B-. So I think, you have to be careful. You have to vet what AI gives you, even at the idea generation point. And I'd be careful about taking anything that's generated. I'm careful with anything I read on Wikipedia, not taking that as lock, stock, and barrel. I think is a good practice.
Yeah, no, it's good. So I just, because I'm doing this literally while we talk, I said, I typed in, give me some Ed Stetzer quotes about the gospel, because I just thought that was interesting. It says, this is ChatGPT, I don't have access to real-time information, but I can give you quotes from Ed Stetzer's perspective, available up to September 2020. He's known for his work in missiology, church leadership, and sharing the gospel effectively, which is great. So then I look at the quotes, it gave me 10 quotes, and I'd say five of them are from people that I recognize that's not me. There's a Tim Keller quote in there. There's a J.D. Greer quote in there. So somewhere I might have quoted them in something I wrote. So again, the inaccuracy level is, but it's going to get better. So that's what you're sort of pointing us to. So if it's going to get better and the temptation is going to be so great, should we just not use it at all, Scott? What do you think?
Well, I think it's going to take an extraordinary amount of discipline, I think, to stop it at a certain place. And if you think you are capable of using it just to generate a few ideas, I'd say that's probably okay. Mm-hmm. But let's not be delusional about our own ability to be disciplined when it comes to using it or not using it. Yeah. I think, you know, and I would, you know, for people who are out there, especially for, you know, for bivocational pastors, you got to have some other people in your life who you're talking to about your use of this, who can hold you accountable to not crossing some lines. And I would just say, you know, I would just, as long as you're clear with your people, I think that's the important part. Now, your people may not respond the same way you think they would.
Right.
I mean, they may tell you, no, we don't want that. And right. In fact, one of the best things I've heard and thought about on this is that the Holy Spirit can't fill a ChatGPT chatbot. You know, the Holy Spirit only fills live human beings who are wrestling with their own stuff and filtering it through their own experience.
Yeah. I think if you're otherwise, what you become is you become a voice actor. And again, I don't think voice actors are bad. I think voice actors read a script. But, I mean, you can have ChatGPT write you a script, or you can preach a Tim Keller sermon or a whoever sermon, and basically you're reading a script. And if you're good at that, which, you know, pastors can be good at articulating things, but that's not the same thing as wrestling with the text for what God has from this text for these people that God has called you to lead and to serve. Okay, so let's talk about some. Go ahead.
I want the pastor to have the experience, which you know we've all had, of beating your head against the wall. And then the light comes on when you realize that this is what the text is saying, and this is how this connects with my people.
Yeah.
You know, we have that aha moment that I'm afraid ChatGPT may rob you of.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's good. I like that. I like the idea of, you know, for me, sermon preparation is like exercise, and exercise produces physical fitness. Now, I'd love physical fitness without exercise, but and clearly I don't do a lot of that either way. But there is a connection between the two, and you need that to get it right. Now, let's talk about some areas that pastors are telling me they're using. First, let me also mention, too, I did a three-part series on ethics and not ethics, but AI, one of which dealt with some of the ethics issue over at the Stetzer Church Leaders podcast. And we actually had the first one talked about your church should have a policy about how people should or should not use AI in your church staff. So listen to that to get more information on that. But I have a pastor friend, you know, all of us are talking about this. And what he has done is he says, I've got this section and I want to preach this, but it's too long. And so he takes the 1,000 words, puts it in ChatGPT and says, shorten this to 500 words. And he says, it's remarkable. Now he rereads to make sure that nothing's changed, et cetera, et cetera. So at what point does it become a tool to a problem? So, because I know you think about this all the time in bioethics and everything else, that some things are tools, but then they cross a line and it's like, it's too far for too much for the wrong reasons. How do we know that line? Is it our individual conscience? Is it ethical standards? What do you think?
Well, I think it's largely, I think it's our own individual conscience here, because, and although the ethical principle is, I want my sermon to be as genuinely me as much as possible. I think most of us over prepare for these, and we have way more content than we can actually cover and whatever time's allotted to us. But I want the editing part to be guided by the Spirit in my preparation. You know, I want to wrestle with what I've prepared, what I think God wants me to deliver to this audience, what's consistent with the author's intent, what's the appropriate application to this. That I think is as much of the Spirit's work in the sermon as the delivery itself. So I don't want to use tools that short circuit the activity of the Spirit, but enhance it. So I think, you know, we all use commentaries, we all use, you know, Logos tools, you know, all those things, totally appropriate. But those sources have all been vetted. Right. We know they're reliable. This is a little bit, I'd say, a bit more of a crapshoot. And I don't know, you know, I don't have any guarantee that it's going to edit it exactly the way I think God wants me to do this. I wouldn't want to do something that's going to short circuit some of the legitimate work of preparation that I think is really necessary to have preaching be everything that it could be.
Good. No, I think we're getting at the key issues here, and super thankful for Scott. I mean, as a theologian and ethicist, really helps us to think about some of these issues. So a cautious use AI, have a rightful suspicion, maybe a right way to put it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Have a caution that you could get drawn into things that take you away from the call that God has in your life for preaching and teaching, and super helpful. Scott, thanks for taking the time on the New Churches podcast.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.